Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. As we do, I like to catch up on the latest writings of the biggest gun writer of his type, and his name is Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here, Bill.
Well, let's talk about this. I think we sort of talked about this the other day, but let's talk about this Houston gun turn-in. I wish I'd thought of this. I would have gone and bought a 3D printer.
Yes, I have to give whoever did this in Houston a lot of credit because he showed how foolish and silly these events are. After all, guns are protected under the Second Amendment in the United States. So, of course, the manufacturer of them is also protected. And in Houston, they got a bunch of money. Remember a few months ago, the Congress voted $1.7 trillion in new spending for all kinds of stuff. I mean, it basically was a big pork barrel giveaway.
Right.
Well, Houston took some of that money and allocated about $1 million of it for something they call, Safe One or something like that, for the city. Safety One or something. And they used 100,000 of it just recently, a minimum of 100,000, because that's what they were paying out in gift cards to people who turned firearms into them. Now, they call this the Orwellian term, buyback, because, of course, the guns were never owned by the government, so the government can't buy them back. They never had them in the first place. It's really a gun turn-in event. But what an enterprising member of the gun culture did is he warmed up his 3D printer, and he printed out about a little over five dozen inexpensive 3D printed pistols. And looking at the box of them, and because I've studied this over time, it looks to me like they would have worked. I mean, it didn't say in the gun turn-in event that they had to, be durable for 100 rounds or something. I'm pretty sure they shoot a few. But as it turned out, I mean, I've gotten more information since I wrote this article. He was supposed to get $150 for every pistol turned in, but they said, "Oh, these guns aren't really working guns," and so he accepted only $50 a piece for the pistols, and he said they cost $3 each to print. So he got about $3,000 for the five dozen plus pistols that he turned in, and now we're learning that the mayor is upset because the publicity doesn't look good. It's a way to transfer money from somebody from this big government slush fund to somebody who's willing to print 3D pistols. And they don't like that, so I guess they're now saying they won't accept any more in the next gun turn-in event. But it's a big boondoggle, and it doesn't do anything to reduce crime or suicides. All the academics agree with this. They say it doesn't do anything. It's just a little drop in an ocean. It's not measurable. Nothing really happens. And, of course, it does do one thing, if you incentivize a lot of people to turn in their grandfather's shotgun or their, you know, the rifle that they inherited from their father and aren't interested in, or a pistol that's been sitting in a drawer for 50 years, and that is, they increase the profits of the gun manufacturers. Because if you would take these guns and put them into the gun stores, you know, then people would have a choice. They could buy a new gun or they could buy this old gun. And some of them would decide to buy the old guns because the supply has increased and maybe they like it for whatever reason. And then they don't buy a new gun. But when you remove these old guns, the used guns from the market, it increases the demand for new guns because the old guns aren't there. I mean, it's super simple, basic supply and demand economics. And so what these gun turn-in events are ways to increase the profit of gun manufacturers. And they don't have any other significant effect, although I would say that the people who organize them are probably hoping that they have a good propaganda effect. You know, they do send a message. The message that they try to send is guns are bad. Turn them into police. But another thing happened at this event where the lines to turn in the guns in Houston, where I was told at times up to 2 miles long, and people waited for hours to turn in their guns, and there were private purchasers going up and down the line of the car saying, hey, we'll pay more, we'll pay cash. Cash for guns, better deal than what the police are offering you. And that sends a message, too, and it says, guns are good, I pay cash. So you, when you have private purchasers and people printing guns on 3D printers and turning them in to make a big profit, you know, it kind of destroys the propaganda effect of these exercises in political theater.
Well, it's definitely political theater. I mean, the you know, I had a producer that committed suicide.
Oh, and that's too bad.
My producer, it was with my first radio gig. Now, he tried to kill himself with a car. He tried to kill himself by driving into a tree. And that didn't work, so then he turned to a gun. And the thing about this is, and I mean, it sort of bugged me for a while, and I had to go ask a few questions of a few people about what leads somebody to do this. And with someone that is that tormented to where they are actually considering that, when they finally make a decision to commit suicide, that's really the first peaceful moment they've had in a very, very long time. So then the idea that a gun causes suicide. Guns do not cause suicide. Guns are a tool to facilitate suicide. Someone that is suicidal, if they do not, you know, if they use something other than a gun and they do not succeed, they will continue to try till they are dead.
Well, very often that is the case. And what we see is when you put significant restrictions on obtaining and owning guns, the number of suicides with guns goes down, and then the number of suicides with something else goes up. In Australia, it was single car crashes and hanging. Hanging is actually an extremely effective means of suicide. You know, it's not hard to find an electrical cord somewhere, and people use that method. And what we've seen in studies in England and in other countries, that what happens is there may be a momentary sort of lull as people find other methods, but the rates of suicide don't really change. It's just that the methods of suicide change.
It does not short circuit that desire. I don't know what actually would work to do that. Coming up on the first break, this article got published yesterday at AmmoLand.com. Houston Gun Turn-In Nets 800 includes a box full of 3D printed pistols, which that's pretty funny. But this accompanies well over 2,000 other articles by Dean Weingarten by himself. And that's the beauty of AmmoLand.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
The left has hijacked our media, our culture, and our schools. Your children are taught to hate America. Your speech is censored. Your employer is woke, and you are being called racist. That's why I wrote a book showing you how to keep the left from dominating your life. The book is called Rules for Anti-Radicals, A Practical Handbook for Defeating Leftism. And it draws from my 28 years of grassroots leadership by empowering conservatives too often bullied into silence by the left. It's a comprehensive guide to beating leftism not only in politics, but in daily life. And it's not just for dedicated conservative activists, but also for anyone sick of getting beaten down by the woke mob. Whether it's your job, your school board, or your neighbors, you can win against woke. Get Rules for Anti-Radicals from Amazon or at rulesforantiradicals.com/radio. That's rulesforantiradicals.com/radio.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Talking with Dean Weingarten. Let's go to the Kentucky State Police gun auctions video. That interests me a bit because most people now have gotten away from that.
Yeah, well, this has been changed a good bit in that during COVID, what they used to do was they opened this auction, which they were required by law to do by the Kentucky State Legislature a number of years ago. I think maybe 98 when they started it, because they wanted a regular system so that the public could benefit from the sale of these impounded or confiscated or forfeited items. And so they made a law saying that the Kentucky State Police would sell these guns, and then the proceeds from the sale would go to benefit police agencies in Kentucky. And what they had done previously was they said you had to be, and I think it's the law said it had to go to a federally licensed dealer. And so they said, we have this auction. Here's these guns. Federally licensed dealers can bid on them. And you can come and look at them for this time period, you know, a few days or whatever. And they would have hundreds of people, small shops and stuff with federally licensed FFLs, federal firearms licenses, come and look. And then they'd bid on anything from 100 or, you know, a bunch of guns to one gun. And they would sell them off. And I contacted the Kentucky State Police and asked them for records of the last decade of how many guns they had sold and what proceeds they had gotten. And what I found out is that they'd recently changed during COVID that instead of just allowing anybody with an FFL to come in and bid, they allowed anybody from an FFL to bid, but the bid had to be for the entire lot of guns, which might be anywhere from, you know, 600 to 1,000 guns.
Wow.
And they wanted a minimum amount. The last auction in July, the minimum amount that they would accept as a bid was $80,000. So not everybody has $80,000 in cash lying around, you know, to make a bid. So that removed a lot of the competition and the complexity. It's much easier to administer an auction for just one bid,
sure,
than it is for hundreds and hundreds. And so they did that because of COVID. They didn't want a bunch of people coming around in a single building for whatever reason. And they've continued to do that. I think it started in 2020. And I looked at the amount of money they got, how much they got per gun. It didn't go down. They get as much money per gun by selling them all off in one big lot as they did when they had hundreds of people with FFLs bid. Now, I thought that was unusual, but that's what happened. And they get an average of something like close to, well, I think it's $182. I have the number in the article per gun. I mean, that's not inconsiderable. And some of these guns are very valuable. It's a strange video because it, to me, and I'm just giving my opinion, it seemed kind of slipshod. Well, they're only advertising it to people who've got an extra 80,000 plus around to bid,
sure,
on these guns. But the guns are in racks or in boxes, and to show the people who are likely to bid, they just take I think it's a cell phone camera. I mean, maybe it's not, but, and they just sort of pan over these guns in all the racks. I mean, you have no idea. You have to kind of figure out by looking at them what the make, model, caliber is. And, you know, you don't even get a really good handle on how many there are. And sometimes the lots contain a number of, like, inexpensive pistols all together. But it seemed to work because they got a reasonable offer. I think, I'm going from memory, it's probably, I'm pretty sure it's in the article, that I think for the last auction, they got something like almost $160,000 for about 1,000. No, it was less than that. Yeah, a little bit, 1,008 firearms, they say. So that was a little bit less than average. But when I looked at the average overall, it came to $182 a piece. And several other auctions were higher than that recently under the same system. As I said, I thought that they would get lower amounts, but it doesn't appear that that happened. And the money goes for things, particularly for body armor for police. And it averaged out that they were getting about $85 per year. That's over the last 10 years or so. $85 per year per officer in Kentucky. So body armor, you know, it varies. It's a few hundred to a thousand or more dollars for body armor. Some's probably high grade stuff, even more than that.
Right.
But it's set to expire, I think, about 3 to 5 years for body armor. So what this means is that essentially police officers in Kentucky get their body armor paid for with the sale of these impounded, forfeited, or confiscated firearms.
Well, I mean, I know there was a time when they were getting a lot of stuff from the military. And I would imagine that the body armor setups that the military carries are probably more heavy than they want to carry in a patrol car. So they have to probably go to a third-party source to get body armor. Probably it's not going to be the military. Probably going to be one of these companies that you and I would buy from. So.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, I think if they were going into a barricade situation or something like that, they might grab a heavier set of body armor. But if you're just going to wear it every day, I think most police are still committed to wearing soft body armor underneath their shirts.
Sure.
And, you know, the guy who really popularized and I think maybe invented soft body armor, I had a second chance best guy. I should know him. He's a really great guy. I met him one time. He said, yeah, the problem with wearing body armor that the crooks can see is then they aim for your head.
Yeah.
And so wearing it where it's not so visible is a significant advantage.
Yeah, body armor only works if you get hit in the body armor. We're coming up on the next break. This article got published today. And that's the way they used to do things in the old days. I have bought a few guns from police auctions in the past. That was always a pretty good deal. For the retail side of it. But we're coming up on the break. This article, like I said earlier, it is part of well over 2,000 others that Dean has written about all kinds of various subjects within the gun culture, within the gun world, within the gun industry. He covers the gamut of anything available out there that has to do with that. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Indiana Republican Congresswoman Jackie Walorski has been killed in a car crash. The death of the 58-year-old Congresswoman was confirmed by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise tweeting that Walorski was a dear friend who loved serving the people of Indiana. The president's doctor says Biden is feeling well during his bout with a COVID rebound. Dr. Kevin O'Connor releasing a memo saying Biden is fever-free and in good spirits despite another positive COVID test Wednesday. O'Connor adding Biden's vitals are all normal. The NFL is appealing the sexual misconduct suspension of Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. He was suspended for 6 games by a retired federal judge. The appeal leaves the door open for a more lengthy suspension. USA Radio News. A task force of officials from all 50 states is organizing to investigate and take action against telecommunications companies responsible for overseas robocalls in the United States. Connecticut AG William Tong, who announced the decision, says gateway providers should be the first line of defense.
We'll issue 20 civil investigative demands. That's 20 subpoenas on 20 gateway providers.
Tong says the country's major telecom carriers are working with the task force on the investigation. The national Clear the Shelters campaign is underway across the country this month. It's an annual push to find new homes for sheltered animals. Over 150 kittens were packed up from overcrowded shelters in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on Tuesday for a flight to Massachusetts. The flights that are being paid for by charities are scheduled all this month. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Talking with Dean Weingarten, and Dean, I'm fresh out of stuff to ask you about, and I'm presuming that you got stuff.
Yeah, well, there are some things. One of them is I wanted to say that it was the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 where the money came from for that gun turn-in event in Houston, and the mayor says that they're going to be organizing an even bigger one with at least twice as much resources soon, so, you know, listeners in Houston might consider going and seeing what people are willing to give up to him. You know, it could be the grandfather had an old Winchester 21 shotgun that somebody wants to turn in for $100 and would accept $150 for. You know, you just don't know. A lot of the people who turn things in at these events have inherited the gun, and they don't really know what they're worth, and they are not interested in going to a gun dealer. And so there are some pretty good deals that turn up at these events from time to time. And now that they have said they're not going to take 3D printed guns, I think that's out the window. But at the event, somebody wanted to turn in several 3D printed lower receivers, and the police said, well, those aren't really guns. Of course, it might be kind of news to the ATF to tell them that those aren't really guns, but
sure.
That's the police at these events have a lot of discretion, shall we say.
But this means, couldn't you write an article on this about how they are turning down ghost guns now? So ghost guns don't matter.
I might do that. There were some other numbers that came up kind of interesting in the Kentucky police auction because I got those records. And so that was fascinating. I have to give the Kentucky police credit that they responded fairly quickly to my request and actually went above and beyond in sending me more information. And you don't always get that kind of cooperation from official sources when you ask them for an official's records request, and they did it. And then what we found is that in the latest auction, I was just adding up the numbers, about 87% of the guns that were being sold at this auction were handguns. Okay, well, there's something like about 60% of guns sold are handguns. Handguns are more commonly sold than rifles or shotguns. It might even be more than that. Let's see. I'd have to do the exact number, but it seems like there's 1.76 handguns for every long gun sold, looking at the ATF records. So 87% were handguns. And then I had an article that I'd written a while back on guns that were traced in Chicago. Now, guns that are traced are obviously a somewhat different subset than all guns forfeited, because some of the guns that are forfeited are not traced. But 90% of the firearms traced in Chicago were handguns. And we see that, I have the statistics. I haven't seen it broken out for other crimes. But for murders, of all murders committed with guns, about 92% are committed with handguns. So I thought that was kind of an interesting, fairly close number. Of the guns forfeited in Kentucky, about 87% handguns. Of those that were traced in Chicago, 90% handguns. Of guns used in murders, 92%. So we see that sort of 90% figure throughout. And so what is the Congress concentrating on? Banning rifles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, either what kind of a ban is unconstitutional, which the Supreme Court has repeatedly said is unconstitutional. So it's just that the Democrats, and I have to say that the Republicans on this issue are just a lot better. They say, well, it's unconstitutional, we shouldn't do it. But the Democrats never seem to worry much about the Constitution, at least lately. And so there we are. I think we have a little bit of time, and you know that I've been researching the myth, the legend of old Groner up in Alaska, that near world record bear that was killed only about 75, 100 miles. I mean, it depends how you trace the route to the place where it was killed from Ketchikan, Alaska, which is in the southeastern part of Alaska in the panhandle there. And this bear was killed in November of 1935. And an article was written about the bear's, the circumstances in which it was killed, as it had attacked this prospector and his dog, and the dog delayed the attack enough to allow the prospector to, whose name was Bruce Johnson, John Stone, excuse me, get that right, to grab his rifle and kill the bear. And what was unusual about the bear was that for the previous 2.5-3 years, when this prospector and his brother and then a friend of theirs on the last trip would stop at this place called Cripple Creek, a tributary of the Unuk River, they would hear this weird moaning, which they came to associate with a set of large bear tracks. And so this bear became known as Old Groner, a huge bear. And when they skinned the bear head out, it was for various reasons they didn't skin the whole bear. The earliest account says the bear had frozen overnight. It was November in Alaska, so that's not too hard to believe, and made it very difficult to skin it. And then a later account said that the pelt was worthless. So they took the bear head and they took one of the paws, and when they skinned out the bear head, they found a couple of rifle bullets embedded, and the right side of the jaw and the right eye arch had been shattered and destroyed by these rifle bullets, and two rifle bullets were embedded in the back of the right jaw It had never healed very well, and the bear had hardly any teeth left, and the teeth it had were in bad shape. So it was a pretty rough-shaped bear. And they took the skull back to Ketchikan. They found out it was near world record size, and this article was written in 36 and gained some publicity. But it was in the old, the early Alaska Sportsman, which was struggling. So there weren't that many issues of it published at that time. Well, the story kind of grew and grew, and then in 1953, a different writer rewrote the story. And in the rewritten story, it was a considerably different than the original story, and I don't know exactly why. But one of the things that startled me, and I researched this because every time I would research cases where people use pistols to defend against bears, very often a reference to this old Groner story would come up. And it came up because in the 1953,
Hang on right there, because this is part two of the old Groner part. We didn't mention this. I did not know there was a part two, but we're coming up on the next break. This old Groner got published August the 1st, so I love the bear stories. So you hang on for me. You can find all of this at Amaland.com. It would be under all contributors. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Last time on The Firing Line from the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis. Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. And we're talking about Old Groner, the Alaskan myth Old Groner. Bear and
right.
Pistols Part 2.
Right. And in the first part, I talked about how I found the original article in 1936, which that was published in February of 36, and it's very difficult to find. In this article, I talk about the 1953 rewrite, which is where I think the real mythology started. And that is, if you look at the 36 article, there's two bears involved, and the dog, Slasher, chases off one bear while Bruce Johnstone kills old Groner, which is attacking him. Now, in the article rewrite in 1953, there's only one bear. And it really struck me as odd. If you look, the illustration made by F.W. Gabler, who wrote the first article, he was a talented artist as well, and he made this illustration. And in that 36 illustration, there's two bears. But then, and I think this is unusual, but maybe I'm wrong, in the 1953, and then later a rewrite in 86 as well, they use the same illustration by Gabler, but they black out one of the bears. I mean, that just seems odd to me. You know, it's not a photograph, and they probably own the illustration, but it just seemed odd. So it was obviously changed to meet the to be consistent with the new rewrite. And in the rewrite, they include the same pictures of the skull that were in the 36 article, but they changed the caption. In the caption, in the original story, it talks about two 33 caliber rifle bullets that were embedded in the right, where the right jaw joint would be. And then in the 1953 rewrite, they talk about two jacketed bullets embedded where the jaw joint would be. And then somehow they mention three more pistol bullets that were in the gristle underneath the jaw. Not actually in the skull, but in the gristle. And that's the first time we hear of a pistol being involved in this story. And part of the fascination with the old Groner story is here you have somebody supposedly armed with a rifle and a pistol, and he shoots the bear twice with a rifle, and then the bear gets on him and is, it says, where did this person have to be to shoot him underneath the jaw with this pistol? And they're saying, well, it had to have been, while he was being attacked and killed. But we never hear of a pistol or pistol bullets until 1953, which is 17, 18 years after the attack and 30 years after supposedly the pistol bullets were fired into the bear, which was several years before the attack where the bear was killed. So it, to me, when you look historically at accounts, the accounts that are written down closer to the event are considered more credible, because people's memory has not changed as much, and they're writing down something fresh. The physical evidence is fresh. The memories are all fresh. And when F.W. Gabler wrote the original article in 1936, he probably wrote the article within 2 months of old Groner being killed, and he interviewed Bruce Johnstone, who was the person who shot old Groner. He may have talked to other people who were there at the scene. They had photographic evidence. They had the skull. They could look at everything, and it was all fresh. So how it happens that these 38 bullets suddenly appear 17 years later, 30 years after supposedly they were fired, and nobody had ever noticed them before that? So it's a little odd. I suspect, I don't claim that it's absolutely true, that that just added spice to the story. I mean, if they had found revolver bullets in the bear's head originally, it's hard for me to believe that it wouldn't have been mentioned. And it was never mentioned that the person that they are thinking was probably killed by the bear, just Stevington. Originally, they just said that he had a .33 caliber rifle. Now in 1953, they say, oh, yeah, he also owned a .38 revolver. 30 years after the time he disappeared, I guess some people there in Ketchikan had really good memories about what people who were there briefly and then disappeared back in the wilderness had carried with them. Well, and they don't even say that he carried the revolver with them. They just said he owned one. And they never, as far as I've been able to tell, they never actually measured the bullets that were embedded in the skull. Now, if you're a competent woodsman and you know a bit about guns and you find these bullets and you've got your own guns there so you can compare them, you probably get a pretty good idea of what caliber they are. And they agreed among themselves that they were 33 caliber bullets, and I think they probably did a pretty good job. But as far as I can tell, nobody actually measured them, and it's only a couple thousandths difference between a .33 caliber bullet and a .32 caliber bullet, or an 8mm bullet. And so there are some other things that, make it so that you can tell one from the other, and I suspect maybe those things were present, and that's how they decided it was a .33 caliber. The weight of the bullet would be one, the size, how it's all set up. But once you smash one of those bullets through a lot of bare bone, they deform too, and are not so easily identified. So that's what we see. This is part two, where I talk about how the myth really took off, and it's when these 38 caliber revolver bullets magically appeared. That's when the myth really started making the rounds in Alaska. And then the later, in the part three, I talk about how it builds and how later rewrites all were based on this 53 rewrite, and there's story upon story upon story that builds up and into the 90s, and then it takes off again. And so if you talk to people in Alaska about bear attack, it's very likely somebody's going to mention old Groner and how he, absorbed these rifle bullets and then, attacked the guy with the rifle, and then the guy pulled out a pistol and he shot him a bunch of times with the pistol, and then that didn't do any good, and the old guy was killed, and it was a killer grizzly that went around for decades killing people. Well, that's not what the evidence really says.
Old Broner was just misunderstood, I take it.
Yeah, well, I think that it became a story that was just too good not to be true. You know? And I don't know why or how it was decided to add these revolver bullets into the story, but when you have an account that was written down only a couple of months after the event, and they never mentioned revolver bullets, and then magically, 17 years later, suddenly they're in the account, and other parts of the original account, like whether there was one bear or two, you know, are changed as well. I don't find it credible that those revolver bullets were actually there. And, you know, I was investigating because I have repeatedly said I will include every documented case where a pistol was fired in defense against bear in my statistics, but I don't think this is documented enough to include it. I have two more accounts coming up to finish off the story of Old Broner, and those will be published. When MLN publishes them. It could be in a week, could be in a month or longer.
Dean is very fast, and MLN has a hard time keeping up with him. You going to be joining me on Friday?
I intend to.
Outstanding. Maybe we'll hear another chapter in the saga of Old Groner. Check all of Dean's stuff out at amoland.com. Thank you very much for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. And as for me, I'll be back again in 21 hours. Between now and then, if you would, remember this, because this is very important. It has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. Has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.